Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 21st day of July, 2020, and I'm thrilled to have back a dear old friend, a friend that I have been able to, by God's mercy and grace, call my friend since the late 1980s, and he is Bill Shishko, who is the pastor of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian Church congregation in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. And today we are addressing what to do when you are abused by your husband. This is a book that was written by Pastor Robert Needham, along with Debbie Pride. And Bill Shishko will be serving as a spokesperson for the retired OPC chaplain Bob Needham, especially since he does have a medical issue that would likely prevent him from being able to be our guest today. But it's our honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bill Shishko.
Hey, it's great to be with you again, Chris. You said old. I'm not sure how you meant that.
Well, I know that I'm old and you're older than me, so you could put two and two together there.
Oh, I feel young.
That's good. You probably feel a lot younger than I do after getting out of the hospital.
Yeah, that's right, Chris. We've been praying for you at The Haven.
I appreciate that. Well, as we typically do, before we go into the subject at hand, tell our listeners about The Haven.
Yeah. Well, it is technically, yes, The Haven at Deer Park. However, the facility that we were using in Deer Park is not available to us because of the pandemic. So we have been blessed to have what is our mother congregation, the OPC in Bohemia, which is at 906 Church Street in Bohemia. They're letting us use their very fine facility. And so they meet at 11 in the morning, and The Haven meets at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that will continue until sometime in September. We're looking at another couple of options, but for now, we'd love it if folks would join us at 1 o'clock p.m. on 906 Church Street in Bohemia for the Ministry of The Haven.
Great. And the website is thehavenli.com for more details. Thehavenli for Long Island.com. Well, I also want to make sure that our listeners have our email address in the event that they'd like to chime in with their own questions. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily understand a subject matter like this being a perfect time for people who wish to remain anonymous to send in questions because of the sensitive nature of what we're discussing. But if you are just asking a general theological or biblical question about our subject that has nothing to do with a personal issue, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, the aforementioned Pastor Bob Needham has called the toleration of domestic abuse the great scandal of the evangelical church. How is that the case, Pastor Bill?
Chris, if you don't mind, Let me give a little background to this. Excuse me. If there's a text for the program today, it would be Exodus 7:1, when the Lord says to Moses, you will be as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. Bob Needham is not God, and I'm not a prophet, but just to explain this, you're right. Pastor Needham, who served for over 20 years as a chaplain when he worked with many abuse cases, and then later from about 1992 on until he retired, served as a pastor. Chaplain Needham did a course at Westminster Seminary in Southern California on biblical counseling, and part of that course dealt with domestic abuse. And he had a student, a very bright gal named Debbie Pride, who also had done a lot of counseling with women who'd been abused, and they collaborated on this privately published book, What to Do When You're Abused by Your Husband, A Biblical Perspective. I've known Pastor Needham for many years. He is among the finest biblical counselors I've ever met. He is a man of principle. He is very articulate. He understands the human psyche the way the scriptures describe it in an amazing way. Anyway, when I was doing the program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, one of the programs was on domestic abuse. And I contacted Pastor Needham, and he was the one who used that phrase that really stunned me. He called it the great scandal of the evangelical church. And it really opened my eyes to the fact that this is, we'll get into the reasons in a moment, that this really is something that must be unearthed, that must be dealt with. And toward the end of the program, Chris, I'll give some people some other resources. But for now, the book that I'm representing, having done an interview with Pastor Needham, I am in January 2021, New Horizons, which is the denominational publication for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, is devoting a whole issue to domestic abuse. And my article is, or will be, an interview that with Pastor Needham that I did just recently. So what I'm giving on your program, Chris, is pretty much a transcription of Pastor Needham's insights, and I'm going to wed it at points with some of my experiences too after 40 years in the pastorate. But yeah, that's the Pastor Needham was the one that called the toleration of domestic abuse the great scandal of the evangelical church, and there's a number of reasons for that. Churches just really very often fail to acknowledge and deal biblically with both wife and child abuse. They, for whatever reasons, and what happens is it robs the most helpless and vulnerable and needy of the ministry that Christ is to provide. Our Lord is meek and lowly. He wants compassion and not sacrifice. He goes after the straying sheep. He protects them from wolves. And so often churches, for whatever reason, we'll get into some of it. It has to do with the cost involved, but we'll just kind of turn a blind eye to it. And it's very important to realize that this is not confined to one denomination. We're dealing with it within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, our sister churches, among them the Presbyterian Church in America, the United Reformed Churches of North America, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, just across the board. Domestic abuse is a massive problem. But this is often what happens, Chris. If someone comes forward and says there has been abuse, what will often happen is that the victim is the one that gets punished, and the abuser in some way or another will be protected or even rewarded. As Pastor Needham put it in the military, the language was punish the innocent and reward the guilty. Well, that should not happen in the church. That's why this really is, it is a problem that, as I mentioned, must be unearthed. And I would only add in this that what happens is if churches don't deal with it, among many other problems, people just get turned off to the church. They don't trust the church to be able to help them in a situation of genuine need.
Well, then, what, according to Pastor Needham, are the big mistakes that church leaders make when they learn of domestic abuse within families of the congregations they serve?
Yeah. Okay, this isn't, these are Pastor Needham's and mine, and this list is hardly exhaustive. The first one, and Chris, this is the big one. There's a failure to immediately take seriously what a wife who comes forth with an announcement of abuse makes. The default is to believe that A, the woman is either lying, or B, minimizing what's going on, or just misunderstanding it. And what will happen is either the person will be told, well, you're imagining things, or you're delusional, or a pastor or elders will assume this is just another case of marriage counseling, and the problem of abuse, which is, abuse is basically anger that it comes at various levels and gets out of control. The line that Lundy Bancroft uses, who's a secular writer in his book, Why Does He Do This?, is an abuser abuses because he abuses. He's an abuser. He's got a heart of abuse. And very often, the abuser can be one of the nicest, kindest men that you can imagine. He may be a church leader. He may be a good theologian. He may be very ingratiating to others. And it's hard to believe that there's this kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. So when people aren't experienced, that is typically what they will do. Now, let me add at this point. It is extremely difficult for a woman who is being abused to come forward. The person should be believed when she comes forward just by virtue of the fact she's got enough courage to do it. There are many, many ways by which an abused wife will rationalize what's going on. Will say things like, well, I just deserve this, or he really didn't mean to do it, or this was just a slip in his personality, or if I do come forward, what will he do to me? It will make things worse. We'll become pariahs within the congregation. All these things and more will cause a woman not to come forward even when there's been abuse. So that's the first thing, is the failure to really take seriously a woman who comes forward and talks about abuse on any level. The second big mistake is that churches will fail to protect the wife or the children once the matter becomes known as it's been reported. And there, Chris, there can be a short circuit in well-meaning but inexperienced pastors or elders or even deacons. What do we do? How do we approach this? We don't want to make it worse. We don't want to blow things out of proportion. What's going to happen to the wife if we bring this up and then we have to leave? And as I said, it's a short circuit, and that will often immobilize fearful pastors or elders. So that's a mistake. When this comes, it must be dealt with based on the situation. We can maybe deal that a little bit later. So yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you, just finish your thought, because I was going to ask you about the cost involved that Pastor Needham speaks about.
That's another thing. We're getting into it, actually, is when ministers and elders or deacons realize the cost and sometimes financial cost involved, they swallow hard and don't want to do it. But there's got to be. There has to be an investigation, a careful investigation into what the situation is. That can be very time-consuming. You have to wait. You have to pray. You have to be sensitive. In the nature of the case, at first, it's just one person accusing another. And the Bible does talk about witnesses and having two or three witnesses. I think sometimes that can be misunderstood. But in the nature of the case here, you may not have those kinds of witnesses at first. And there's sometimes not the severe bruises or lacerations in a woman, and the tendency will be to doubt her testimony. That is another reason why inexperienced people will struggle. The other thing is that a minister will say, especially realizing these things are complex, I'm just dealing with another marriage counseling situation. This just needs some kind of fine-tuning. Well, if a woman has been threatened, if a woman has been beaten, if a woman has had, and this may stun your listeners, Chris, but it happens. A man, the abuser wants to control. The abuser is driven for various reasons, for wanting to control his wife, his children, his situation, and that can take very extreme measures. Men have been known to take a gun, not loaded, but a gun, and point it at a wife or a child and say, you continue to do this, and you know what I'm going to do to you, and even pull the trigger of an unloaded gun.
I know a woman personally, a very good friend I've known since I was 15 years old, actually, and her husband, who was at the time a police officer, he abused her really badly, and in fact broke her nose while she was 6 months, or actually I think 9 months pregnant, while she was lying on the couch. He kicked her in the face and broke her nose, and he, among other things, held a gun to her head.
Yeah, that happens, and see, immediately when you hear this, you think a professed Christian, for example, couldn't do this. Well, a professed Christian can do anything, if the Lord has not put a bridle on that person's sin. But an inexperienced person will be so struck by this, his default as a pastor or an elder might be to say, this can't be real. But you always take something like that seriously. That's called assault and battery, and that's a crime. And a crime needs to be reported to the police. We'll come to this a little bit later, but that's also another area where ministers will err. They need, in most states, interestingly, New York is not one of them, but in most states, there's a mandatory reporting requirement for anybody, a pastor, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers. If you know of that kind of physical abuse in a home, it must be reported. And here's the reason. Physical abuse, I mean, Jesus said this, physical abuse, anger that comes from anger, that's incipient murder. A person who really, really loses it can strangle a wife or shoot a wife or throw her out the window or whatever. That's why this always needs to be taken seriously. Then another error, and Chris, this is huge. You sit down with the wife, you've gotten the story from the wife, you sit down with the husband, whether or not the wife is present, and you bring these things up. It's not unusual for a man to begin to cry, to say he's sorry, to get down on his knees if his wife is there and beg for forgiveness, and a counselor will believe that everything then is okay and give some little things to do for homework and get on with it. Abusers are master manipulators in that regard. They and sometimes they do feel genuine guilt, but that's not equal to repentance, which we're going to get to later. But to say, well, that's the, when a person says, I'm sorry, my usual remark to them is, all you're saying is God's given you a conscience, and that saying I'm sorry is kind of like the red light on the dashboard that says something's wrong, but that doesn't solve it. So those would be just some, and Chris, there's so many others. I think another thing, too, is that, you know, ministers are busy, and elders are busy, and they've got all kinds of things to deal with. Abuse cases, especially when they're long-standing and aggravated, they can take months or years to deal with those things. You've got a wife who is afraid, she's broken-hearted, she feels ashamed, she feels guilty, she feels fearful, and all those things are at play. And if a church says, for whatever reason, we don't have the time for this, you're leaving the wife to really a wolf. And one of the texts I go back to, Pastor Needham refers to it in his book, is Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse verses 2 through 10, where the Lord excoriates the shepherds of that day, which were the priests, the prophets, or it could even be the kings, which of course are all would all be woven together in Christ, the great shepherd. But it includes in there not going after the sheep when they're hurt, not protecting them from the wolves. Well, you protect sheep from the wolves, you put your own life in danger, and quite frankly, if you're dealing with an angry abuser as a counselor, your life might be in danger as well. So those are just some of the costs that are involved in dealing with abuse situations.
Now, a thought occurred to me that I think you should probably clarify. I'm assuming when you said that the woman, the victim, should always be believed, I'm assuming you meant initially, because globally, people were riveted to their TV screens for many weeks when Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice nominee, was being slandered and vilified by a woman accusing him of molestation, abuse, and rape, and so on. And there turned out to be no basis for her charges.
Correct. And I appreciate the point. I should have said it initially, believe. There's a huge difference, Chris. Those accusations had behind them, at least in my understanding, a lot of political motivation and a lot of political encouragement. It's interesting, these are people that did not come forward with these things shortly afterwards. And frankly, there's no real reprisal. I mean, there are some, but you get a woman in a home. She goes to bed with this man. She gets up with this man. She feeds this man. She's with him. And if there has been a provoking of his anger in that home, there's a greater fear for her life. So I think it's that the fact that we're talking about literally an in-house situation that makes different dynamics than those others.
Okay. Well, as far as the pastors that have had little experience or no experience counseling abusers, there's got to be pitfalls to be avoided. What, according to Pastor Needham, who wrote the book we are discussing, are pitfalls they should avoid?
Yeah. Well, I've already mentioned one, as he does, and this is common, that you just assume that this is just another ordinary domestic husband-wife issue, and not realizing it when there's a threat, especially when they say, I'm going to kill you, that this really is a case of potential murder. And we've got to remember that words really do mean things. It's interesting that and sad that most wives who were murdered by their husbands were the objects of prior abuse, of more or less long-standing abuse. And when this is the pitfall, ministers will say, I've heard this, Chris, frankly, ad nauseum, a minister simply says to his wife, well, you need to be more submissive. It's your responsibility. If you're submissive, then he won't do that. That's a lie. Because while a wife is to be submissive, you're not to be submissive. If someone's abusing you, you're not a doormat. You have a right and a responsibility to protect yourself. But I would say that's probably pitfall number one to avoid, is to think, nah, this is just a little marriage thing. Just go home and be more submissive. That's one. Sometimes, too, ministers will not listen to the wife unless the husband is present. Now, in real marriage counseling issues, in most cases, you do want to deal with the husband and the wife. They're having difficulties in communication, or there's sexual intimacy issues, or they're not agreeing on things, and in that sense, they're arguing. Well, in those cases, you want to deal with the couple. In this case, it may take the woman two or three times to finally really begin to open up about what's going on. When there's been abuse, women will suppress that for various reasons. I've mentioned a number of them. They feel like they're part of the problem. What are people going to say if they learn about this? Will it make it worse? if I come forward with this, okay? And but the woman must be able to feel free to open up about these things, and a good counselor will help draw that out. And I should add at this point that this can be, and this is a pitfall, a sensitive minister has to be careful dealing with a woman who has been hurt in her home in any way, because you're wanting to represent the great comforter, the Holy Spirit. And if it's a man, a compassionate man, and a hurt woman, that can create some very bad dynamics. When there has been abuse in a home, a pastor may, on the first meeting with a woman, figure out the situation. But it's wise, very wise, to, beyond that, have a godly, sensitive woman in the congregation with the pastor working with the woman. And in most cases, Chris, I did this with my own wife, who's very empathetic. That's important. First of all, the woman realizes this is not just her time alone with a compassionate man. Number two, you have the benefit of a woman who usually understands women better than men do, who's listening and understanding, and, you know, two are better than one. I mean, it's always better if you can have a couple of people asking questions, thinking things through, and discussing them. But I would say that would be another pitfall, would be for a minister, a male, and ministers should be males, to try to deal with these things with a female when there's dynamics that are there that could start a very bad fire. I'll put it like that. I've also mentioned before the pitfall of thinking that if he says he's sorry, the problem is solved. That's not it. And frankly, it for an abuser to change, it really takes a work of sovereign grace. Now, secular counselors who deal with this and see this are basically very negative about an abuser ever changing, and hence they will tend, many of them, to push the divorce option. Well, as Christians, we can't think like that. We have to realize you pray, you ask for the Spirit to work, convictions. We'll talk about repentance a little bit later, which is so important. In fact, it's crucial in this. But we have to realize an abuser can change, but a counselor must see certain very definite evidences of repentance. And remember that, as Pastor Needham puts it, an abuser develops what he calls an under-the-radar persona. You see, abusers seek control. They'll try to control, you know, how much money a woman spends for postage stamps or for personal items or whatever. Well, that control will carry over in that he will try to control the counselor and will manipulate a counselor into thinking he really isn't that bad, or that his wife is crazy or delusional, this kind of thing. And it's the pitfall of believing the abuser at that point, when the abuser is again trying to manipulate the board of elders or the pastor and so on.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Bill Shishko and more of our discussion on spousal abuse right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital.
There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, President of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, New York, currently worshiping in Bohemia, Long Island. This is a congregation within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church denomination. And today we are discussing a book that was written by a dear friend of Pastor Bill Shishko, a book on a very important subject, what to do when you are abused by your husband, a biblical perspective. And this has been written by Robert Needham and also by Debbie Pride. And this is obviously something that has life and death connected with it. And if you have questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And one of the reasons a great deal of caution needs to be had when believing a professing repentant abuser is for the very reason I just mentioned. This is a life and death situation, or at least it could be. And what makes it more difficult is something that you just said before. You said that abusers are notorious masters at acting. And so what are some of the marks of true repentance in an abuser, according to Pastor Needham, and from what you have seen in your own years as a pastor?
Yeah, great question, and that very probably the pivotal question. Chris, let me go back for a moment, just a bit on the costs. I was at the break, I was thinking of some things that I didn't mention that I really do want to let people know for churches. As far as the cost involved in rightly dealing with domestic abuse, this is a long, drawn-out process, and there aren't easy solutions. It's great when you can have a question and you have a couple of Bible verses to answer it and you get on with something else. Domestic abuse cases are not like that. Each one is different. And so there's no real template for dealing with these. So that's part of the cost. People need to keep in mind that dealing with domestic abuse can divide a church. It can divide the leaders of a church or a congregation. You have to carry out discipline, and some churches that can precipitate a split. A pastor may lose support if he's pursuing a biblical resolution, and in the course of it is dealing with a person that's much loved in the congregation when people aren't aware of his patterns.
Or so, perhaps even very rich in the congregation.
Yeah, well, that's, you may have a lot of money. That's exactly right. And there is, and it's not tidy. I mean, you've got to, and frankly, we don't have a lot of resources from a Christian perspective to deal with this. There are things coming out now. I mean, you've got the one, again, I recommend is What to Do When You're Abused by Your Husband, A Biblical Perspective by Robert Needham and Debbie Pride. I'd love, Chris, to be able to promote one of my favorite places to get books is Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, which you're familiar with. But this is a privately published book, and you'd probably have to get it on Amazon.com. Another one, and I'll give more resources at the end here, from a Christian perspective, is the book The Heart of Domestic Abuse by Chris Moles, M-O-L-E-S.
Yes, I've interviewed Chris.
Yeah, I thought you had. Uh-huh. Yeah, Gospel Solutions for Men Who Use Control and Violence in the Home. There's that, and then another one that I've not read, although a dear pastor friend of mine, Larry Wilson, recommends it, Unholy Charade by Jeff Crippen, C-R-I-P-P-E-N, which is kind of, at least from what I've looked at it, it's very similar to Lundy Bancroft's Why Does He Do That? It's just that he kind of processes that through a Christian view. Another thing in the cost, I want to get to the repentance matter. What we found, Chris, in Franklin Square, when we had to deal with these things, we had to work in areas that were new to us. How do you develop a plan for a woman who's abused to find a place of refuge, to find a sanctuary? What about a child abuse policy in the church? Sometimes your church insurance company can provide information about this. You can Google child abuse policies. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you do need to do some work on these. And especially if you're looking for shelters in your area for women, you have to do some research on that. And there's shelters and there's shelters. There are shelters that aren't much of a shelter. So that's also part of the cost. I think as Pastor Needham says, and I amen it, don't start unless you're willing to go all the way to the finish line. It would be better if a church is not willing to deal with this, to refer to a counselor who's had experience with it, who certainly will give input to a local eldership to help them. Either take this seriously and do it, or don't get involved in it at all. You get the hopes of the woman up. Anyway, okay, so yeah, your question about repentance, that's huge, Chris. And it is in part because the evangelical and even Reformed churches, Chris, are very weak on the subject of repentance.
Really?
I think so. I think in some cases, Chris, repentance can be regarded, I think it's better in your circles, the Calvinistic Baptist circles, probably better than some Presbyterian circles where the Reformed faith can be kind of a head trip. And I would say the evangelical community at large, certainly repentance.
Oh, of course.
Very.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, for pastors, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 10 and 11 is the text on what repentance is. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. And a lot of what you see in an abuser is a worldly grief that comes. For, and this is repentance, see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you. And that's the umbrella category. People are diligent to make tracks running away from what they were doing. I'll give you some specifics in a moment. What eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation. I mean, your anger is turned on yourself, so to speak. You are so grieved at what you've done. What fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. And actually, what that means is you're willing to accept any kind of correction that you need in order to change. Now, how does that work out? Well, again, sorry is not enough. The first thing, believe it or not, the first thing is a man admits he's abused his wife. That's precious uncommon. You sit in a session and a man says, sometimes with tears, sometimes not, I admit what I've done was cruel, hateful, destructive, potentially murderous of my wife. It was wicked. It's David. His anger, whoever this was that stole the sheep, you know, the person needs to be put to death. The person basically condemns himself very honestly. That's the first thing that I will look to. The other side of it is they'll say, well, wasn't that bad, or everybody does it, or the one I would get a lot is, well, that's the way they did it in my house. What does it make any difference? What does the Word of God say? But anyway, a willingness to admit that this really is abuse and connected with it wants the involvement of the church and its leadership to help him out, not just the marriage. Because see, what an abuser will do is say, well, okay, it may be 50% my problem, but it's 50% my wife's problem. Inside he's saying it's about 90% my wife's problem, which is part of the problem. But he says, no, I need help. And we're not talking about an anger management class. My heart needs help. I need work by the gospel in my heart. And so that person will accept involvement in his personal life. Accountability is huge. If it's necessary, if the woman's being abused, it may be necessary to say to the husband, for a couple of weeks, your wife is not going to be with you, so we can work on these things because we're concerned with what's going to happen to her. I mean, it may be elders going to the house with the wife, the elder not alone, but with another woman, to get her stuff out and get out and any cash that she needs. You don't jump to that option, but it may be one if she's being abused.
And, of course, he might have to leave.
What's that?
And, of course, the husband might be the one that has to be evicted, if you will.
Yeah, the problem with that, the problem with that is he knows where this woman lives.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and so in most cases, it is going to be the wife that has to leave, and then that sends the signal to the man, if he's sensitive, there's something abnormal in this house, and it's so abnormal that my wife has to be out of the picture for a while. Now, you know, you got to be careful. Paul says that the husband and wife are not to be apart except for prayer and fasting for a time. There's spiritual purposes in this. Now, it may be necessary if it's a severe abuse situation that the wife is just out indefinitely until there could be repentance. But anyway, but the man is meeting with a counselor regularly, somebody who will pray with him, talk with him, he opens up with, bears his heart. Got to be a counselor who is sensitive to know how to deal with the heart, not only bringing the arrows of conviction of sin, but bringing the comforts of the gospel. It's interesting, Chris, the catechism's answer to what is repentance. Repentance is a grace. It's a grace given by God by which a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, that's done from the scriptures, and an apprehension or an understanding of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. That's a masterful, masterful definition of repentance, and a counselor can actually use that as a grid to work through things with the abuser. Certainly a Bible study, 2 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11 is ideal about what biblical repentance is. Praying, if repentance is a grace, and it comes by sovereign grace, and it does, then we have to pray that the Lord send it. Are you praying every day that the Lord gives you a softened heart? How has your heart become softened in these things? Where do you see areas where your heart has gotten hardened with things? I mean, this takes work. It's a battle. It's a battle for the souls of people. So the person's open to being shepherded, and that language, fruits in keeping with repentance, is so important. The man says, your homework, what are the areas that you need to change in your dealing with your wife? Number one, I must stop yelling at her. Number two, I must stop threatening her. The way I'm going to do that is by giving my, if I get angry, asking her to give me some time to back off. There are certain mechanisms you can use for that. I'm going to ask my wife to forgive me for these things. There's a list. I'm going to ask my wife to help me with certain things, and I want you to help me with these things. Repentance, Chris, very graphically, one of the Puritans said, repentance is the vomit of the soul. And you want to see that vomit of the soul in the abuser come up.
What a great line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's memorable. And then it, sometimes, Chris, and again, this is a delicate thing, there does come a point if there has to be, say, suspension from the Lord's Supper or certainly excommunication, there has to be some announcement to the congregation, or a wife is not living with her husband for a while. Why? People begin asking questions, or you've had to take the children out of the house. Well, a sensitive congregation is going to wonder what's going on.
In fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off when we returned from our midway break. This is the longer than normal break, folks. Please be patient with us, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this longer break because they air this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, in morning drive and in the evening, and the FCC requires of them to have a longer break in the middle of our show so that they can localize Iron Sharpened Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements. While they air those announcements, we air our globally heard commercials. So please make best use of this time. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, and that will further ensure that we can remain on the air for a longer future, because our advertisers are more than likely going to stick around if they are getting responses from you, the listener, but also write down questions for Bill Shishko on domestic abuse and send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please, whenever you are purchasing gifts for anyone you know and love, make your first stop for shopping at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And you will find there a treasure trove of the best in Christian literature from the past and the present. Solid Ground Christian Books, ever since we relaunched in 2015, has been a key primary sponsor of this program. And it is very unlikely we would be able to exist without their financial support, barring a miracle of God. So please thank them if you love this show, by purchasing as many books from them as you possibly can. And you're not only doing them and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by doing this, you're going to be blessing yourself and others whom you give these books to, because, as I said, they are the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. That's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And we hope that you bless the lives of many people in your life very soon, whether it's their birthday, whether it's their anniversary, whether it's a retirement gift, whether it's a back-to-school gift, whether it's a bereavement gift, whatever it is that you're buying these gifts for, please go to solid-ground-books.com to purchase them. And remember, not only purchase books for your Christian loved ones, but also those who are lost whom you know. They may be the most important ones to purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because you may lead someone you love to Christ through a book that you purchase for them that has the gospel within its pages. So remember, solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you place an order. Before we return to Pastor Bill Shishko to continue our discussion on domestic violence, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. I hope as many of you as possible join me August 28th and 29th, that's a Friday and Saturday, in Scranton, Pennsylvania, for the Basics of Biblical Counseling Conference, a conference of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, also known as ACBC. This is going to be held, God willing, at the East Point Baptist Church. The High Point Baptist Church, forgive me, High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, which happens to be a congregation planted by the ministry of John MacArthur and Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California. The keynote speaker at this conference is Dale Johnson, the executive director of ACBC, and his lectures include The Need for Biblical Counseling, The Definition and Goal of Biblical Counseling, Progressive Sanctification, Qualifications of a Biblical Counselor, Secular and Integration Theories, What Makes Biblical Counseling Biblical, and a Q&A session with the audience. That's Friday night and all day Saturday until 5 p.m. on the 28th and 29th of August. I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there, so I hope to see as many of you there as possible. For more details, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, S-C-R-A-N-T-O-N, -PA-training. And if you didn't have time to write that down or wrote it down incorrectly, you can always email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com to ask for that website. Finally, folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, to go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. If you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And I thank God that my dear and benevolent and generous friend, Pastor Bill Shishko, has done this on quite a number of occasions, along with his precious bride, Margaret. And I look forward to receiving more checks from him in the future. But, and folks, keep in mind that we lost, I'm hoping it's just temporary, but we lost two of the largest financial supporters of Iron Trip and Zion Radio during the pandemic. Due to the hysteria going on, their businesses were hit very hard, and we at least temporarily have lost these two supporters, so please help us make up for that which we lost. And also, I want to thank all of you who have already been doing that, that you've been sending in your hard-earned money, not only those who have been loyal to this program for many years, but also new people that I've never heard from before, including a woman from Austin, Texas, who I never had met or heard from before until very recently, who broke all records when it comes to donations to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. I hope I get the chance to meet her face-to-face at some point. But also, folks, if you want to advertise, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put I need a church, in this, and put advertising in the subject line. That leads me to my next point. If you don't have a church home, then send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. I have already helped people all over the world find churches. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. I may be able to help you as well. I have helped quite a number of people who did not know that there were faithful churches right near them, some of them less than 5 minutes away, and were totally oblivious to the fact. I've helped people find churches that they have visited and joined and become members at, and also those who have visited churches on vacation, and those that have referred these churches to loved ones who are without church homes. This is a very important thing in the Christian life. There is no such thing as a lone wolf maverick Christian who is not under the authority of local elders. So please, if you do not have a church home, send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Bill Shishko about spousal abuse, domestic violence. The email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before we go to any listener questions, we were right in the middle of talking about what cautions should church leaders take in dealing with congregation members who are involved. Oh, actually, that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about what the congregation should know and the issue of informing the congregation about the specific situation involved when somebody has been removed from their home, where a temporary separation has been mandated because of the danger involved in domestic violence.
Yeah, we were dealing with repentance. I pretty well covered it in the last time, but just to finish that thought, because I am interested, if you've got listeners' questions dealing with those, it's always it's kind of an art and not a science to know how much you tell a congregation. You've got to tell a congregation enough that it answers any questions and explains why discipline is being carried out, but you don't need to give all the gory details and so on. This is where, Chris, I so value biblical church government. You have, with an eldership, you have the multitude of counselors in which there's safety. And in these kinds of things that are especially delicate, we would discuss what needed to be said to the congregation. I would usually do a draft of a statement, and then the elders would have their input in it. You take your time, you don't take too long, but you want to take time enough to get the statement right. I would not always read the statement. You know, very often, if we had, say, a closed meeting of the congregation, After a morning worship service, I'd go to the foyer and I'd greet the visitors who were there and chat with them. And one of the ruling elders would actually read the statement and then lead in prayer. And that was a way of making a statement to the congregation that this is part of rule in the church. We're trying to rule things wisely. We would get right down to cautions about what to say to people. What does it mean? You're to regard them if they're excommunicated as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. You don't hate them, but it's not business as usual when you deal with them. But that's probably a topic for a whole program, Chris. But yeah, you've got to, and certainly if we're dealing with a case of child abuse, and a person in that is, we'll talk about legal authorities in a bit, but legal authorities have been brought in. You absolutely must let a congregation know if a member of that church as a child abuser. I mean, God forbid that the person should be alone with the child or hold the child in the lap or fondle the child or whatever the thing would be. So these are serious issues. I mean, that's getting kind of far afield on the repentance issue, but that's when you. I think, Chris, let me mention this before I forget it. And again, this is Pastor Needham's counsel as well as mine. Don't think of legal authorities as the bad guys in these things. Whether you're going to the police or Department of Social Services, in most cases, if not all of them, they're going to be very thankful that there's a church that's involved with helping them, because social workers in particular in domestic abuse and child abuse cases are just overloaded with things. So our experience universally, and Pastor Needham would say the same thing, was that the legal authorities were of great help to us, and we would work together. How can we work together to deal with this? Sometimes when legal authorities are going to require, or social workers require, counseling, they may even let the church be the entity that does the counseling. So partner with them. Another practical suggestion for a pastor: if you move, when you're in an area, especially you move to a new area, or if you've been in it and you haven't done it, do it now. Check the mandatory or the requirements, reporting requirements in your own state. And you can just Google in reporting requirements for domestic abuse by state or something. But do that. The other thing to do is probably, if you've never been involved with abuse things before, get together with someone. I don't mean the desk clerk at the not demeaning desk clerks, but get together with some representative of your local police force or your county police force, that your precinct, that someone that can help you. You say, what are my responsibilities as a pastor when there's been domestic abuse reported? What should I do? What should I look for? Who should I contact? That will save a lot of grief, and it will be immensely helpful, because remember that God raised up the magistrate, which includes the police, as a minister of God. And don't see them as your adversaries. They're people who can help you, because when you get in the domestic abuse sphere, you're not just dealing with sin. You're going to, in most cases, be dealing with crimes as well that have to be reported.
Well, we do have an anonymous listener who asks, I have a close personal friend who was a Christian recording artist and a very talented one before she got married. After their marriage, her husband forbid her from being involved again in recording and even pursuing anything further with her musical gifts. Is this something that is truly under the freedom of a husband as head of the household to mandate, or is this just another form of abuse? And of course, there may be many other similar kinds of things where a husband is unnecessarily prohibiting and restricting his bride from being involved in pursuing gifts and other things that are completely lawful and completely pleasing to God.
That's a great question. Best case scenario, this is a man who doesn't understand the use of gifts, the way he's to encourage his wife in the use of her gifts and so on. That's best case. However, when I hear this, this sounds to me like what is a common pattern of abuse in which a husband will try to control his wife in unreasonable ways, controlling her in unreasonable ways, not giving her discretionary funds that she can use to buy things for herself, restricting, being very jealous of her just being together with other women, forbidding her to be part of a Bible study for fear that his wife is going to open up about domestic issues. I mean, it's control, okay? It's a control thing. I wouldn't assume that this is abuse at first, but I certainly, it's something a pastor should explore, and in speaking with the wife, find out if there are other similar patterns, which I think the questioner alludes to in that. I don't want to say in most cases, but as a pastor, I would look for other things that speak of a kind of control. Now, if the person gets violent with her for even raising a question, wanting to discuss it, that's another mark of an abuser. An abuser doesn't want to discuss anything. An abuser wants to lay down the law, and that's it. If there's that kind of a thing and he becomes angry or violent, well, that's clearly getting into the category of abuse.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. And if you are a first-time questioner, send us your full name and mailing address, and we will ship out to you, or should I say CVBBS, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CVBBS.com. They will ship out to you a brand-new New American Standard Bible if you are a first-time questioner. And, of course, your name will remain anonymous on the air. We have Daisy in Raleigh, North Carolina, who says, "Hi, Chris, glad you're doing better." Her question is, does the theological concept of male headship contribute to domestic abuse in the home? Now, that's a very interesting question because you and I strongly believe in male headship. And so, basically, the question could also be asked, can a biblical truth and even a biblical command be twisted to become wickedness such as domestic violence?
Yeah. Again, that's an excellent question. And, of course, any truth to the exclusion of other truths becomes an untruth. Now, this is Pastor Bill here speaking. When I hear a man emphasizing first a wife's submission, I smell a rat, and I mean a really rotten rat, because the Bible puts the emphasis on it'll say, well, the first thing it says, wives, submit to your husbands. It comes in a context of speaking about submitting one to another in the fear of Christ, but the bulk of that material in Ephesians 5 is about the husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. So I will zero in on how that husband is, what it means for him to love his wife, to give himself for her good. Now, if a man's doing that, it certainly makes it much easier for a woman to submit. But let me back up a little bit, Chris. And as I've studied abuse, in recent months, it seems like this has been a front burner issue, not because I'm dealing with it as a pastor, but because I'm working with people who are, I'll mention a little bit of this later, people who are, one person in particular, working on a curriculum for churches dealing with domestic abuse. But I've come back, Chris, so often to Genesis 3 and verse 16 and the curse, where the curse is pronounced to the woman, "Your desire shall be for your husband, but he shall rule over you." And the kinks, the kind of the basic kink that comes into a fallen world is, on the one hand, the woman's desire to dominate the husband. And that's what that word means, your desire for, is used in the only other place it's used in the Old Testament is in the next chapter, where Cain's desire was for Abel. It was a desire to dominate him, and of course ultimately killed him. But so a woman will struggle with the desire to dominate the husband. But then when it says he shall rule over you, that's an effect of the curse. yes, a man leads in a home. He's to manage his home and rule it. If a man doesn't rule his household well, he certainly can't be an elder. That word rule, though, is to tyrannize. And that will be a man's default. He'll get angry with his wife. He'll yell at his wife. He'll try to control his wife unreasonably, or it doesn't usually happen first, but he'll hit his wife or slap her, and then, of course, then it can get worse. That's tyrannizing. Does biblical patriarchy lead to this? It certainly can, because if in fact, this is the default of fallen nature, and men are only emphasizing, again, truth to the exclusion of other truths becomes an untruth. They're only emphasizing their headship. And some of this, Chris, this is a program, I hope you'll deal with this at some point. Some of this patriarchy stuff, men don't even believe that women are made in God's image. And that's heretical. So there's a spectrum of the patriarchy thing. And but the more you go, I'll say to the right, not the right in belief, but the right side of things, the more extreme of that, yes, it certainly does lend itself to that.
Great. We have another question. Let me see if I can find it. We have, I just had it right in front of me. Oh, here it is. We have Maggie in Plano, Texas. Hi, Chris and Bill. Thank you for openly addressing a silent epidemic.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. She's got it exactly right. I called it a pandemic. It's kind of the COVID-19 of the ecclesiastical world.
Yeah. Bill, how would you distinguish between physical and mental or emotional / spiritual abuse? And what recourse does a woman have with her church when she is being abused in every way except physical? How do we help these women, especially when their husbands do not recognize or acknowledge the problem?
Yeah, that's, again, an excellent question. Well, abuse is on a spectrum, and you do have to be careful if, for example, a husband and wife have an argument, and which husbands and wives do, and the husband pulls rank. That may be first level of abuse, but that's not in itself what we're talking about. Abuse is, number one, a pattern, and it's a pattern of something that threatens or intimidates. It makes the person fearful in a home, and that, again, is a gradation. A man is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge, and he must be careful not to speak in or act in ways that will threaten or scare his wife. For example, if a wife was brought up in a home in which she was abused by her dad, whether it be verbal or physical, she is going to be very, very sensitive if a man raises his voice or gets very animated. Well, in that case, a man has to learn to communicate in a way that is gracious. And if he doesn't, then that's a certain level of abuse to the wife. And clearly, as it gets worse, it becomes a pattern of every day, blows up. And usually, the pattern is a cyclical thing in most cases. A man will kind of get pent up anger about whatever. And then something, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And he will get angry, he will scream, he will stomp, he will throw something around. He may not hit her, but he might take a lamp and throw it against the wall. Well, that's abuse, because it's intimidating, it's threatening. Then the man will usually pretend a certain kind of sorrow, I'm sorry kind of a thing, and I won't do it again, blah, blah. And then the pattern starts again. When a woman sees that kind of pattern, then she really does need to reach out to a pastor or a godly woman, and I don't mean a naive woman. We often equate naivete with godliness, and it isn't. But usually with a pastor or an elder, and explain the situation. I think it's important for a woman to keep some kind of a journal. Well, don't let your husband get it, but if you're seeing this pattern, to note This happens maybe three or four times a month. It happens when he's unusually tired, or some men will get violent if they've had a couple of glasses of wine or something. And as a wife sees these patterns, she should be speaking with her husband about them. I mean, this is basic level. Hopefully he will listen, and hopefully he changes. If he doesn't, he'll get angry with the wife for even bringing this thing up, or he'll say, I don't have a problem, and then that, again, it's denial, or it's not that bad, or I don't need a counselor, or I don't need help. Well, as that gets worse, certainly she does need to reach out for help and not wait too long with it.
Okay, we have another question. This one is from Susan in East Setauket, Long Island, New York. And let me find that. I was just looking at that one as well. I have received mixed messages from clergymen in the past regarding the subject. I was married to an alcoholic and abusive man who literally made my life miserable in every way. I never got a definitive point of guidance from any of the pastors that I spoke with. Why do you think this happened?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get the first name of the person.
Susan.
Susan. Well, Susan, to say you're not alone would be probably one of my understatements of the year, because this is very common, and it goes back to what we covered early in the program. Either A, ministers are just unaware of how serious this problem is, therefore they minimize it. B, they think the woman is lying or is delusional. Or C, they don't want to get involved with it. Or it's a combination of things. But what Susan has experienced, I'm sorry to say, is the norm in churches. And sadly, part of the default, and this tends to happen, I can say this as an older minister, but sometimes it's the older ministers who are the slowest to admit this. I think it could be because we are growing up in a culture that is much more bullying and mean and harsh than we'll say the 1950s, for example. I mean, not that there wasn't abuse then, there was. But we live in a culture that's almost getting barbarian-like in many ways, and that carries over the home. Naive ministers will just blind themselves to the fact that this really happens. So when Susan says she's gotten mixed messages, she's probably making an understatement herself. But that is the norm. Sadly, there I would just urge pastors, get Bob Needham's book that we've been mentioning, What to Do When You're Abused by Your Husband, or you've had Chris Moles on, you could listen to his program, The Heart of Domestic Abuse, or from a secular perspective, why does he do that? Why does he do that? By Lundy, L-U-N-D-Y, Bancroft, B-A-N-C-R-O-F-T. That book, Chris, he's as far as I know, he's not a believer. He's very gentle. He is very, very incisive. But I've never read a book that more opens up the caverns and the holes and the corners of what it means that a husband will try to dominate his wife. Again, the curse declared in Genesis 3:16. I highly recommend that book by Bancroft as kind of a primer from a secular perspective. And then when it comes to the actual outworking of how the church responds to it, the Bob Needham book, What to Do When You're Abused by Your Husband, Robert Needham and Debbie Pride.
By the way, I just have something important to announce in regard to those that wish to remain anonymous. I typically read these questions for the very first time live, so if it is your request to remain anonymous, please do not put in the very last sentence of your email, please keep me anonymous. Please put that right in the subject line and do not include your name anywhere in the content of the email. So please just remember that. I probably should say that every time I give the anonymous option for folks, but please do not just think that I'm reviewing these questions during a live show beforehand. I'm usually for the first time reading them live. We have somebody who's actually going to be my guest tomorrow. Richard Guido, Dick Guido, who's going to be talking about the church versus the state question mark. He has a question for you, Dick from Raleigh, North Carolina. There are generally three current views of the role of women in the church and the home: complementarianism, egalitarianism, and patriarchy. Does any of these views contribute more towards spousal abuse than the others? And you yep. have touched on this already, but yep. Obviously complementarianism is the view that you and I hold to, that most
right.
most conservative reformed churches and conservative evangelicals who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and so on believe in the complementarian view. There are some departures from that, but if you could tell us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, first of all, encourage you. Dick Guido is a very dear friend. I served with him as a pastor, as he was a fellow elder for many years in Franklin Square. I don't know of anybody who has, I'm sure there are people out there, but I don't know them, but of my sphere of contact, I don't know of any a lawyer, Dick is a retired lawyer, who has given more attention to church-state issues. It's kind of the area where he is particularly gifted in helping the church. So I regret that I'm in meetings tomorrow between 4 and 6. I can't listen, but I'll listen to the podcast. But yeah, you want to listen to his part 2 on church-state issues. I know it will be an excellent program. I submitted a question to him myself, so and I got an answer from him. All right, that's Chris, I appreciate the fact that you said, I mean, we're complementarians. My wife is a helper suitable to my need, and I'm a helper suitable to her need, too. And so in that sense, we're complementarian. There are those, there's a spectrum of beliefs here. Egalitarianism, well, egalitarianism purely and simply says there's no differences. There's no head in the home and so on. Well, that's clearly out of the box. The other side of it is the Apostle Paul said there's no more male and no more female. We're all one in Christ. So my wife is not in any sense subordinate as a Christian. She's equally in Christ as I am. And patriarchy, well, the Bible does teach that the husband is to be as the head of his home and to manage and so on. So we need to be careful with any of those terms and always define them carefully. I do think, as I said before, the patriarchy view can lend itself more to abuse than the others can. I mean, in the nature of the case, complementarian, when I realize my wife complements me, she helps me, and I help her, well, you don't want to abuse someone that God has given to help you. Interestingly enough, the egalitarian view can also lead to abuse. You have two people in a home where the woman's desires to dominate the man, and he's going to rule over her. That's the default. If you have an egalitarianism, you're going to have fights. So that could actually lend itself to domestic abuse as well.
Well, thank you, Dick, and look forward to our discussion tomorrow. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last ones. If you have a question, please send it immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And as I just said before, if you intend or request that we keep you anonymous, please put that in the subject line so that I know immediately, and don't mention your name in any of the body of the email. Don't just ask me the very last sentence of an email to remain anonymous. I read these questions typically for the first time live. But anyway, don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture,
to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Buzz Taylor, a frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you could call cvbbs.com and order by phone as well at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Only call that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern, because it's the only times and days that phone line is manned. There is no voicemail on that number. That's 800-656-0231. And also, please, whenever you're ordering from cvbbs.com, first go to solid-ground-books.com, our other book-related sponsor, and make a long list of the books that you want from Solid Ground Christian Books. And then, if you'd like, you can place that order with cvbbs.com, because CVBBS carries all of Solid Ground Christian Books' titles. If they don't have them when you call or when you go on their website, they will order them. This helps bless both of our advertisers that are book-related, because Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher, whereas CVBBS.com is a distributor of many publishers' titles. They are not a publisher themselves. So that's a way you could kill two birds with one stone. Go to solid-ground-books.com first, make a long list, then go to cvbbs.com, and you can order the books and other publishers' titles there. We are now back with our final section of the program, our final moments with Pastor Bill Shishko, and our discussion on domestic abuse, domestic violence. Our email address is Chris Arnzen. If you have a question, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. I would send in the question immediately, or otherwise we'll be out of time before the opportunity. Pastor Bill, when should civil law enforcement be called to an abuse situation, especially since this is a very uncertain situation? The woman might not even know for certain if she's going to be a victim of a physical attack.
Let me, I'm watching the clock myself, Chris. Let me just answer that one quickly. And do you mind, I want to highlight a few things I hadn't mentioned that I think are important. What I would do, and this would be number one advice for, particularly for pastors, check the legal requirements in your state. You can Google that, again, domestic abuse reporting, New York State, or whatever it would be, and you'll get information on that. I don't mean blogs, but you're normally going to get some official state document about what is required. And then you'll know what you must report that is mandatory, and then report it. The other thing to do, as I mentioned before, meet with a representative from your local police precinct, explain that you're the pastor there, what are the requirements, what do they suggest. You'll get a lot of help from that. And then it is important that, especially when it comes to child abusers that may be in the church, you have a child abuse policy, or policies really to protect the children. You, again, talk to an insurance company. You can get boilerplates for these things. But elders should think through carefully what is going to happen. And these things are going to come up inevitably, and forewarned is forearmed. And when you have any questions, just seek advice from others with more experience, older pastors who've dealt with the issue. And Chris, a couple things that I don't want to leave out. Let's not forget the victims of the abuse. We talked about the abuser. Victims of abuse, an abuser will cut off financial support. An abuser will threaten, and you really need a team, your elders, your deacons, wise, godly women to work with that person. Don't let the victim fall through the cracks. Pray every day. The Lord does work in these situations. You may feel like you don't know what to do, but the Lord is at work to do things. And then, again, I've got to mention the book. Get the book, What to Do When You're Abused by Your Husband, by Robert Needham and Debbie Pryde, P-R-Y-D-E. Pastors, that will help you. If you've got a woman who am I being abused or not in the home, what do I do? Give her a copy of that book and have her read it. And that will save you a lot of hours of counseling, and it will help you know what to do. It's a unique book, one of a kind, and it's immensely helpful for churches and pastors.
Well, as far as when to call the police, I mean, obviously you don't want a woman to wait until she's actually hit.
Right. But the thing, correct. I mean, it's hard to answer the question in the abstract, Chris. when it, yeah, sometimes a woman has got to get hit for as terrible. At that point, there must be a call to the police, a threat. As I said, I'm going to kill you. That needs to be reported to the police. That's a little bit like a person saying, I'm going to kill myself. You always take that seriously. And remember that anger is the murder of the heart. So when there's that course of anger, a man's going to get violent, the woman should get out and call 911 and call her pastor. But again, you know, Chris, we're not God. We can't foresee these things. Sometimes abuse like that has to happen. It's terrible, but at that point, it's got to be reported as assault and battery.
And the website for The Haven, where Pastor Bill Shishko pastors, thehavenli.com, thehavenli.com. Thank you so much for your excellent service to us today, Pastor Bill. If you could hold on the line, I'd like to book another interview with you. And I want everybody listening to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.